Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. From the time of the early church, the season of Lent was not only a period of time to focus on the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, it was also set aside to be a time to prepare new believers for the Christian life that they were about to live. Really, a time for all believers, new and old, lifelong and newly baptized, to return and recall the basics of the Christian life in a fallen world. And the first thing that is set before our eyes on this first Sunday in Lent is the reality of temptation in the life of the believer. It doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been a Christian, how strong your faith is, temptations are sure to come. In fact, Jesus even says that it is necessary or inevitable that temptations come. So he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." But in the explanation of the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism, we rightly declare at the outset, God tempts no one. It's good to be clear right from the beginning, before we go any further, that God is not the author of temptation. He never tempts anyone to sin. Indeed, he cannot. As the scripture says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Yes, it's true that God tests his own in order to strengthen their faith, as he did when he commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in the book of Genesis. But God is by no means the cause of sin. No, rather, the cause of sin is the world, as Jesus says. "Woe to the world for temptations to sin." It is also the sinful nature, as James writes. "Each person, when he is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." And as we hear today, both the world and the sinful flesh, the old Adam, have a terrible ally in the tempter himself, the old evil foe, the crafty serpent, Satan, the devil. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and the ones that he wants to devour most of all are you, because you are Christians. He wants to devour every one of you because you are baptized children of God. And so the devil is constantly prowling around, attacking you, firing his flaming darts at you, working with your flesh to tempt you from within, working with the world to tempt you from without. All the shame and the vice that you commit is incited by the devil, the world, and yourself, your flesh. Lustfulness, laziness, overindulgence, drunkenness, greed, dishonesty. These desires of the flesh are inflamed by the devil. Anger, impatience, hatred, envy, hostility, violence, unfaithfulness, cursing, slander, pride. These sins of the world, which the devil all too happily encourages. And as for Satan himself, he especially delights in attacking you spiritually, particularly your conscience. He leads you to despise and disregard God's word. He tears you away from faith, hope, and love. He leads you into pride, false security in your sins and stubbornness, or he leads you into despair, denial of God's mercy, and hopelessness. The devil attacks you with temptations in an instant, in the heat of the moment, prompting a word or action that just comes out, even though you know it to be wrong. But then he will also attack with temptations that are slow and silent for a long time, whispering his lies here and there, little by little, slowly taking you one step at a time away from God until you find yourself completely lost. The devil will attack you when you are at your weakest, your lowest, when it seems that you are utterly defenseless and have no strength left. And he'll also attack you when you are on a high season of spirituality, when you are most confident and least on your guard. No, dear Christians, this first Sunday of Lent reminds you that you should never think that Satan is far away. He's even at your side in your room when you pray and read the Word of God. He is at your side, around you when you are working and at rest. He's even next to you when you come to church, hear the sermon, receive the sacrament. Wherever you go, the devil is there trying to tempt you to fall. Day and night, the devil, working with the world and your own sinful nature, is busy trying to ruin you. And his ultimate goal is not necessarily the shames and vices to which he tempts you, but rather to false belief. That is, to lead you completely away from Jesus. He would have you doubt God, disbelieve that God loves you. He would have you imagine that you were better off if you were outside of God's authority. Indeed, if God didn't exist at all. This is how he tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve. Did God actually say, "You will not surely die"? God knows that when you eat of it, you will be like him, knowing good and evil. Yes, whatever fiery darts of temptation Satan may fire at you, his ultimate goal is that you become an unbeliever, separated from God, not only here in time, but finally there in eternity in hell. Every temptation to lose your temper, or lust, or steal, or gossip, or covet, or whatever else, is not for the devil an end in itself, but rather for him a means to an end. To lead you further and further away from God and his word, and further under the devil, straight into eternal condemnation. And again, his strategy is always to lead you to doubt and disbelieve God and his word. In his arrogance, the devil even attempted to attack the only begotten Son of God by nature in this way. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. In essence, the devil asked, if you're really God's son, why are you out here in the wilderness, hungry and thirsty and tired? Shouldn't you be in the heavenly temple, worshipped by angels, feasting on the first fruits of the nation? If you're really the Son of God, help yourself out. No need to starve. Provide for yourself something to eat. You did this for Israel, now do it for yourself. To doubt God's provision, to seek self-gratification, a temptation that the devil all too often brings against us. But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." If you're really the Son of God, Satan said, in essence, prove it. Don't just fast and pray. If God is really your Father, trust him with your very life and well-being. Let's see if he will actually guard you and defend you. Psalm 91 says he will. Again, the devil attacked Jesus, and so he attacks us in the same way, to doubt, to disbelieve that God will truly defend us against all evil and guard and protect us from all harm. But Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Once more, Satan said, in essence, if you're really the Son of God, then you shouldn't have to suffer many things and be rejected by the people. You shouldn't have to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Here, you can be king of the world. You can possess all its riches and power, possessions and glory. Here is honor and power, but without any pain. You only need to fall down and worship me. The devil tempted Jesus to bypass the cross, to avoid suffering, to reject God's will, all for comfort, prosperity, and pleasure. And so the devil again tempts us today, not to deny ourselves, but to seek only our good, not to take up our cross, but to throw it far from us, not to follow Jesus, but to follow him. But then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." As we hear recorded in three of the four Gospels, Jesus was, humanly speaking, at his weakest. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He was hungry. The devil then tempted him in this moment of lowliness, tempted him to doubt, again, that God would provide for his bodily needs, and so to serve himself with his power in that time of need. The devil tempted him to doubt God's promise to protect and save him. And so he tempted him to test God, to test God's promises. He tempted Jesus to turn aside from worship of God the Father alone, to gain earthly treasure and glory, indeed, to forego all of the sufferings that awaited him. Yes, in the end, the devil tempted Jesus to doubt, to disbelieve God, just as he tempted Adam and Eve, who fell, just as he has tempted every single other human being, who have also fallen. But Jesus did not fall. With each temptation, Jesus rebuked Satan by the word of God and remained sinless. In the wilderness, Christ fought the devil and won. But Jesus in the wilderness did not defeat the devil for himself, for his own sake. He did so for you. For you fights the valiant one. As it is written in 1 John, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, and he did so for you. So Matthew writes at the beginning of our lesson, Jesus was led up by the Spirit to be tempted. Yes, Jesus was hungry and weak and weary. He fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. He was true man with a body. And so it seemed to Satan that Jesus was ripe for the tempting. But Christ was truly in control the entire time. Was for this reason that he went into the wilderness, to confront the devil and to defeat him for you. Now, this battle between Jesus and the devil in the wilderness was only the beginning. This was only the first assault that Satan would level against Christ. At the end of this Lenten season, we will hear how Jesus went to Jerusalem to destroy the works of the devil once and for all. We will hear how Satan was on the prowl that holy week, the roaring lion, tempting many to sin, bringing many to fall, all with the ultimate goal of devouring Jesus. We'll hear how he entered into Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus, how he encouraged the Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, elders, and scribes to condemn Jesus to death. We'll hear how he incited the crowd to cry out, "Crucify him!" We'll hear how he moved Pontius Pilate to seek to justify himself. We'll hear how he led the people to mock and abuse Jesus. And yet we will also hear how at each and every step bearing his cross, Christ remained Lord and God. He was in control. He was silent before his accusers. He prayed that God would forgive those who did not know what they were doing. He forgave and welcomed the thief on the cross into paradise. And at the last, he cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. Yes, Satan thought that he would win the victory, if not in the wilderness, then certainly when the Lord of life was swallowed up by death. But Jesus' death was not his ultimate defeat, but rather his ultimate victory over death, the devil, sin, and hell itself. And so when he descended into hell, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, he descended not to suffer further, for he cried out, "It is finished," but rather to conquer the devil, to destroy hell's power, and to take from the devil all his might. And again, all this he did for you. Jesus' life, his death, his descent into hell, his resurrection, his ascension, his victory is for you. Satan is defeated once and for all. Make no mistake about that. But he still prowls around like a roaring lion seeking you to devour. He's like a wounded animal lashing out. His fate is certain. He will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity when Christ returns in glory. But until then, he's not going anywhere. And that's why even after you've been baptized, after you are saved, you must still wrestle with him daily, along with wrestling with your own sinful nature, the old Adam and the world. That's why every day of your Christian life is filled with temptation. Which brings us back to the purpose of our scripture lessons today, to teach and remind you Christians, again, whoever you are, young and old, lifelong and newly baptized, that temptations are inevitable in this earthly life. Temptations from within, temptations from without, sudden temptations and subtle temptations, temptations in your hour of deepest weakness, temptations in your time of greatest strength. When temptations come upon you, as they no doubt will, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus alone. He has conquered the devil for you. And in his conquering, he has given you an example by which you may finally overcome and win the victory. Now, to be sure, it's good to avoid situations and settings that can easily lead you into temptation. Even though he is defeated, don't treat the devil too lightly and give him an opportunity because of your ignorance or apathy. Instead, use your God-given wisdom. Stay away from certain entertainments, websites, groups of people, locations, activities, etc., that will surely tempt you to sin. You know what they are. You know what particular shames and vices appeal to your flesh. Watch and pray, and avoid any opportunity to indulge these things. But know also that there are some temptations that are plainly inescapable. And when those temptations come, don't bemoan them, nor attempt to overcome them by your own reason or strength. Instead, as Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Trust that God is truly faithful, that he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, that he will guard and defend you, and that he has indeed given you the greatest weapon that you can use against the devil and his lies, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Since the devil's strategy against you from the beginning is to lead you to doubt God, the best defense you have is to stand on what God has certainly spoken and will never change, his unfailing word. Say to the devil, "It is written." When he comes with his temptations, cling to God's word and stand in the evil day. Stand firm. Jesus, the Son of God, in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And he found no better way to turn aside the devil than that, to say, "It is written." And because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help you when tempted. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, in the hour when temptation comes, find strength in the Scriptures to turn aside the devil and his lies, just as Jesus did. And when the hour comes when you stumble and fall, as you have, as you will, and draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that is to Christ's word and sacraments, and there you will receive mercy, that is forgiveness. For Christ has suffered, died, and is risen for you. Satan is truly defeated. Your sins are not counted against you, and the crown of life is laid up for you who share in Jesus' victory by grace through faith. On this first Sunday in Lent, as we now begin taking our journey to the cross, we are rightly reminded that temptations are a necessary part of the Christian life. The devil is always on the prowl, seeking to devour you. He knows that his time is short, and so he will stop at nothing to turn you away from the cross and eternal life, and only to hell. Were it not for Christ, we would all have listened to the devil's lies and followed him. But Christ has beaten down Satan in your place. By the word of God, he has defeated the devil. By the blood of the cross, he has forgiven your sins and failings. And all this he gives to you for you to use in your battles against the devil, the world, and the flesh. To trust in Christ, to trust in his word, in his grace, his mercy, and power, that is to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. No, the devil's not going to stop firing those darts of temptations at you. But you need not despair. In Christ, the victory has been won. And as we sang, the kingdom yours remaineth. In Jesus' name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.